So there it was. That was Friday's show. A montage of some of what was said. Although the oh my god was from the Thursday reaction when he nailed Tyrique Williams.
But I imagine you did the same thing when you heard he got drafted at home.
Yeah. I'm like, effing Kang did it again.
I think what we have to do, I know we talked about the bronze, the bust that we'd put over over with the Marconi Awards over there.
Yeah.
With the several Marconis that are over there. I think we're going to have to change the idea. And it's now going to be a bronze statue, mm-hmm. not a bust, like a statue. Like, we're going to have to talk to the people responsible for the statues you see at LCA or that you see at Comerica Park. Mm-hmm. Of the Tiger legends, the Piston legends, the Red Wing legends, even the Barry Sanders statue, obviously Lions legends.
Yep.
We're going to have a statue here made by those guys.
That's fine with me. You know, the thing about it is, too, is, you know, I watch the reaction come in because in real time, social media people, you know, tagged us on a lot of stuff, and Kang as well. Crediting him for that pick on Friday and obviously coming back after having the first round pick. And it's a lot of Kang knows football, Kang knows the draft. No. Kang knows Brad Holmes. That's really what you did, right? It's a study of Brad Holmes and football, but really you've done a good job of figuring out, okay, what would Brad do?
I feel weird, guys. I feel tingly. Strange. Yeah, no, I've cracked Brad. I've cracked the code that is Brad Holmes. No, there are some tea leaves you can try to read, and I just got, you know, I got lucky with two guys. Right. I mean, let's be honest. But there are tea leaves that you can kind of read. I mean, they're not like things we haven't heard before. High RAS score, okay?
Yep.
Did he have a visit with the Lions? Did he have more than one visit with the Lions? Did they get to talk to him in person, see what kind of character he has, right? The off-the-field stuff matters to them as far as work ethic and things like that. He had the local pro day. Then, you know, you go back and you look at some film and things like that, and then you look, is this a position of need? I know they don't draft for need, but you got to look, do they maybe need that position? I was one of those people that believed they were very interested in Golden. It wasn't one of these fake visits. I think if you look at the depth chart, guys, behind Amon-Ra St. Brown, you've got Jamo for 2 years, right? They picked up the option. And then Khalif Raymond on 1 year, Tim Patrick on 1 year. Like, there's availability there at that position. So I always thought they were interested in receiver. So when I went down the line, I looked, I said, you know what? Isaac Tesla.
So what's funny, too, is when you listen to Brad Holmes talk about him, he says things that like what they do to praise him and how they're evaluating him. And I'm like, God, they love that stuff. They talked about how at the Senior Bowl, he was a player who was difficult to defensive backs when it came to blocking. When they were running skills where the wide receivers had to block the defensive backs, they called him a pest. And they love that stuff. They love the complete player and the guy that will help them when he has the ball and when he doesn't have the ball. So anyway, we will certainly commission a artist to put together the bronze statue.
Make sure it looks just like Lawrence Fishburne.
That's the key.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And he also plays really well on special teams, so I knew that he would be able to contribute that way as well. And I think the Lions look for versatility, so all that stuff plays a role, but like I said, kind of got lucky, but I'll take that any day of the week.
When it comes to the statue, just in terms of the likeness, do you want the statue to be representative of how you look now or how you looked when we were doing the mustache growing contest?
I'm still doing it. Well, you stopped?
Cat, right. Get the catfish thing going on the outside.
No, I'd prefer just right now.
You got it.
Thank you for asking, though.
Yeah, whatever you want,
here for you, man.
Whatever you want. So overall, the whole draft, they went out and they honestly have done something that creates no juice. The least sexy picks on any team are interior linemen. You could make a case that they create the least amount of buzz, the least amount of excitement, but the reality is these are the kinds of picks that help you win. You know, defensive tackles, guards and centers. If you get it right, they're immensely valuable. But they create the least amount of juice. And if you look at where people are praising the Lions for their draft, what they did right, those are the picks that are getting the most. I mean, getting Ratledge is, in fact, in some ways, I think he's people's favorite pick in this draft. And I have to
admit, in large part to the mullet.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a great mullet.
And then getting Miles Frazier in the fifth, getting two guys that could be your starting guards as early as next year. And an interior defensive line. These are the least sexy picks possible. They create the least amount of juice, but that doesn't mean they aren't good picks. And I think here in Detroit, we do recognize that and talk about that. But they certainly did not address the thing that everybody wanted them to address.
Nope. I mean, they did. They just didn't do it with the resources that people wanted them to do.
You're right.
And myself included, I thought that for sure one of the first three picks they had was going to be an edge rusher.
Yep.
That is not the direction they went into. Instead, what they did, Doug, is that they treated other positions of need.
Yep.
As much as he says he doesn't do positions of need, yes, you do. You do it by need.
I guess I'm not as convinced.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have a need at guard?
No, but I think they still might say best player available.
I know they're going to say it, and because that's part of it. I mean, it's a whole thing I got with Brad Holmes.
That's okay.
It annoys me that he talks down to the media, he talks down to the fan base, and that pisses me off because he assumes we're all idiots and we're just saying edge rusher no matter what. And it's not it. We understand that the player has to be able to play, right? Just like these other guys. I mean, Tyreek Williams, you take him in the first round. Yeah, good player, and is it a position of need? Yeah. Okay, checked both boxes. There you go. And same thing with Ratledge. Same thing with everything else you did. I'm not going to kill them for not taking an edge rusher in the first few picks. They deemed what their needs were and the players were and how they rate them is this is where they're going to go. And, you know, taking a defensive tackle in the first round, that sets you up right there. Okay, that was the screaming need for the team to them because you have no guarantees about Aleem McNeil. They already know what they have in-house. And they know the DJ Reader's not going to be here much longer. So got to fill that need. And they did. And that's fine.
Yeah, I guess I still think he'd tell you, and I think I agree with him. Because some of these picks, I'm like, I mean, they double-tapped a guard. They
double-tapped a receiver.
They double-tapped a receiver. And that, to me, is we're just taking them what we think is the best guy on our board. But we're going to get into the draft at great length. On this Monday, though, it would feel wrong if we didn't get into what happened yesterday at LCA. And it's immediately led to one of my pet peeves when it comes to analysis. And so we'll get into the non-call at the end of the Pistons-Knicks game, which very well may have sunk the Pistons. May have sunk the Pistons because now they have to win five games to win the series. Instead of only win four games to win the series, because I don't know how else to say it, but they were robbed yesterday. They were robbed, and the likelihood of Hardaway making two free throws at that point were so high, and them, you know, there wasn't any time. I mean, the Knicks could have got a shot off and would have got a shot off, but I just can't believe, and I can believe it at the same time, how frustrating it is to have another example of a bad call just killing a Detroit team. But we will get to that coming up today at 10:18 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service is where you get green and stay green with Natural Way. Give them a call today, 888-GET-GREEN, to go to naturalwaylawn.com. For a limited time, you purchase the full lawn program. You get free grub control, but you've got to mention my name, Gator, and the station's 97.1 The Ticket. Look, you want it to be green. You want it to be lush. You want it to be awesome. You've got to call Natural Way right now at 888-GET-GREEN. This way, you take care of the dandelions that are ready to go to seed, right? In the warm weather, that's what happens. It brings about the weeds. It brings about the dandelions, and that's no good. Dandelions will rob your lawn of water and nutrients, and you definitely don't want that. Plus, it's not too late to treat for crabgrass. You see crabgrass in the summer? It is too late. Call now for a beautiful weed-free lawn this summer. Natural Way is great. They don't offer you the runaround, meaning that they're going to say, oh, yeah, you got this problem and treat for something else. Uh-uh. Everything is up front. They let you know exactly what has to be done with your lawn because they tailor specifically for your lawn using high-quality products and high-quality expertise. It's a locally owned company for 35 years, a company I've trusted for almost a dozen years, Michigan-owned, Michigan employees, Michigan families. How about keeping that money right here in Michigan with a company that's involved in lots of local charities? You got to love them. I do. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Give them a call today, 888-GET-GREEN, or go to naturalwaylawn.com.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. So here's one of my biggest pet peeves, and I understand why this gets done, and it is a topic. When a game ends like that, okay, and the way the game ended has already been acknowledged, and it was acknowledged immediately, this was a mistake, and we are the victims of that mistake, and it sucks. It absolutely sucks, and we'll talk about the mistake. The whole, well, you shouldn't have blown the lead. It shouldn't have come down to that. That is true. That's a completely different topic. And we will talk about that. And it's certainly worth talking about.
Mm-hmm.
No, they shouldn't have blown the lead. Yes, Cade had two shots and turned it over in the last minute. Those things did happen, yes. And they are worthy of discussion today. Separate topic. Last play of the game, the Pistons got effed, okay? Now, if your argument is, well, you shouldn't have blown a lead, I agree. Different topic, though, right? A completely different topic than what happened at the end. The Pistons have a job to do. They failed at that job, and it would have been a lot easier to close the thing out by double digits.
I'm glad you're saying this, because I feel 100% the same way.
It drives me
nuts. I was
getting
really aggravated looking at different people on Twitter commenting about it, different people in the media commenting on it, because they were always saying, well, they shouldn't have. Yeah, we know that, okay? Despite the fact that they turned the ball over like it was their job in the last few minutes of the game, despite that, they still should have been in a position to win the game at the free throw line because of a horrible missed call. But that didn't happen. Now, yes. Did they blow their opportunities? Sure they did. But you know who else blew opportunities? There were plenty of turnovers throughout the game that in missteps and blocked shots that the Knicks had too, right?
Yep.
So it goes both ways with that. But in the end, the last play of the game is unquestioned because the NBA even came out and admitted that they made the mistake. That was a foul. That's three shots at the line, down by one with, what, tenths of a second left.
Yep.
All right? So, yes, I agree with 100%. That other stuff, how they played the game, that's a separate topic.
It's a topic for sure.
Yeah. But so is the missed call, because it's blatant. It's blatant as hell. And it should be Detroit versus everybody on this thing. This is ridiculous. You can't make a mistake like that. And they did. I got a text from a buddy of mine about half an hour after the game, and he said the NBA has to go to booth review or whatever, instant replay review for the last 2 minutes of the game. I'm like, I'm not going to disagree with you. Of course they should.
It's
in a situation like this, the playoffs.
It's highly, highly, highly frustrating because, you know, that scramble and everything that happened, if the whistle had blown, okay, you know what's not a topic? That foul.
Of course.
And that's immediately what I wrote down. If this goes the other way and the whistle's blown, you're not having, right now on ESPN, it's all about the officials' error at the end of the game. That would not be on ESPN. That wouldn't be getting discussion on a Monday on national television that they blew that whistle. It just wouldn't.
Most likely not. Now, here's the only thing I'll push back on that, is because the way that the officials were calling the game and really letting a lot of that stuff go, that you could argue that was just the pace of the game. That's what they were doing. But from a three-point shot in that situation, I mean, it was no question they missed the call. It was interesting how they called the game throughout.
Now, there are other topics, for sure. There are other topics. And they will get ample airtime.
But topic number one with a bullet, the referees missed the call.
When the national media is leading with the officials' call, so we're going to do it too. And we will eventually get to how we ended up in that situation to begin with. But this feels like an all-timer, man. It sucks because I mean they're probably done. I know the immediate job is to just stave off elimination and try and get it back to Detroit.
It's staving season,
it
boys.
It is staving season here
nice.
In Detroit.
Nice.
But the likelihood of them winning three in a row are not great. And, you know, 2-2 going back is a complete, I mean, it's completely different than this is. Right
I mean,
now.
I'd love to say that home court advantage matters, but they went 0-2 at home.
I know.
Should they have won the last two games? Yeah. They lost them by a combined 3 points, and they should have won them both, and they didn't. And now they have to go win another game on the road just to ensure that there's a game six. It's an uphill battle, but, I mean, they can battle up that hill.
You know, before the series started, I asked you guys, do you think we'll be talking about the refs and calls during the series? And I know, I think all three of us said we didn't want to be. But there is that sentiment out there before the series started that the pro-New York, you know, and the anti-Detroit, you combine the two, you're not going to get the calls, at least from this perspective. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Like, you can talk about the rest of the game, and you can talk about this call. You know, like, it's the whole game, you know, and how we got to this. But they blew it. They absolutely blew that call. I don't care what anyone says. And now they're down 3-1.
I do care what everybody says, and I'll tell you why. I care that the NBA admitted it, and it makes it worse. But it's an acknowledgement that, you know, one thing that we kind of already knew gets the stamp of credibility that the league says they blew it.
I mean, would you rather the league come out and say, nope, that was the right thing to have a non-call in that situation?
No,
I
wouldn't.
More distrustful.
Well, that's why I think it makes it better, actually. Slightly better.
Well, it supports what everybody in Detroit is feeling.
And by the way, that was like the fastest turnaround of we effed up ever. Like
was quick.
They said we effed up so quickly that the media was able to ask Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns about it at their presser.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how fast that it was. Like, we messed up. Here's the pool reporter. Here's what we said. And go ahead.
And I mean, I would imagine, too, that it's probably irritating as hell for Knicks fans to hear. And it implied that they didn't deserve to win that game. I mean, you hate it. I say all the time when it comes to big games, I don't want any controversy. Let's just let the game play itself out with little controversy, because I think it's highly frustrating for the team that lost, and I even think it's frustrating for the team that won. They don't want to hear it either. They don't want to hear that they didn't deserve to win the game, whether they did or they didn't. They don't want to hear it. Nobody likes to hear that. So it's not... I mean, but it's certainly far more ideal to be in their shoes than in our shoes. If it was a phantom foul, it was clearly no foul, and there was a phantom foul called, like the Cade jump shot that he missed with 11 seconds to go. If they'd called a foul on that, we would have been like, ooh. And that turned into the winning points. That would suck too, because everybody's saying Detroit didn't deserve to win the game. It would suck less, okay? But this is... This is really, really frustrating. It's frustrating.
It's super frustrating on so many levels. I mean, the call is the one thing absolutely standalone by itself that was ridiculous. But the way that the Knicks were coming back, knocking down miracle shots, Karl Anthony Towns was insane. The shots he was knocking down. I mean, taking that, it was like a 30-foot three-point shot. He just steps up and brings it, does it a couple times, has that shot on the side, Durin's in his face. He spins, does his turnaround fadeaway shot that somehow misses the backboard and just swishes right in. It was unbelievable. I mean, miracle shots by that team. And I've got one other thing that from the game yesterday that I was ready to vomit in the second half.
Well, let's see if we can induce it next here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. There you go, JB Bickerstaff after the game, a very frustrating way to lose. And we will get into the rest of it, but certainly the call at the end, when it's like big part of the national discussion today. So certainly we're going to talk about this call. And I guess, why do you think it didn't get called? Why do you really think they didn't call that foul? Did the refs just choke in the moment? Did they not want to decide the game? Did they, was it an example of a game where they let a lot go and they were going to let this go? Were they influenced by the fact that it was New York, which is the conspiracy theories that come out of everywhere as they, oh, they want the Knicks to advance. Did it come down from on high? Was it an NBA directive, which is certainly another conspiracy theory? Was it the veteran team with more superstar power? More star power gets the benefit, and the young team gets screwed here. What is it? Why did it not get called?
I think he absolutely choked the ref.
I think so, too.
And this is what bothers people about reffing, and myself included, is I do believe these are the best refs in the world. Whatever professional sport you want to pick, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, the NBA. But when they miss obvious calls, it's what really frustrates the fans, you know, like the in this case, an entire, you know, city, that, you know, the players and the coaching staff. An obvious call where he's 5 feet away. I do think being on the Knicks bench played a role next to Spike Lee and all the Knicks. I also think that he probably didn't want to decide the game on free throws in his mind subconsciously. But Doug, Gator, you guys know. And in this series, we've seen it a million times. And this is throughout the regular season as well. You get a man in the air, it's an automatic foul. You cannot touch the guy. You come down, that's a foul. They almost call it before you even hit the guy most of the times because they know you're at the mercy of the offensive player.
It's a sad state of affairs if Tim Hardaway had opted to jump into Hart
exactly.
to make the contact worse. Brunson style from game one. Brunson hasn't done a lot of it since game one. Or game two, I guess. Was it game two?
Game two was the last one.
Yeah.
So
it's a sad state of affairs where Hardaway gets punished for trying to make the shot that he got fouled on rather than try and embellish the call but give himself no shot to make the basket. That's a sad state of affairs. 248-539-9797. Let's get to our Champ and Chump nominations. Who should be singled out for having a great weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? I'm going to champ my nephew, Logan Evans, who has been in the Mariners organization for a couple of years now, has worked his way up the food chain there, and yesterday got called up to the bigs. Actually got the call late Friday night and started yesterday for the Mariners. Went 5 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. He got the win. Paid for the MLB package. Now I can watch right. every MLB game the rest of the year, but we got to see Logan, you know, successfully achieve his dreams. And it's an awesome story of a kid. You know, it's everybody's played in the majors have their debut story, right? And it's really weird to be on the side of it where they're talking about somebody in your family. And it was a really cool moment for us. And Logan came through, and he's a funny kid, and it came through in the interviews. But you know, to see a network in Roots Northwest turn it over to, like, you know, here's our debut story was really, really fun. My son was able to fly out and be with his cousin. My daughter, unfortunately, has a final exam today, and she wasn't going to be able to make it out. And we got other things that we couldn't make it, but we're able to watch it. And I'm really super proud of him and happy for him. And the Mariners have done a great job tapping into what he had, which is it's the data science people that saw what he had, and it brought the most out in him. And I can't say enough about what the Mariners have done for my nephew, but I'm really super proud of Logan, and he is my champ of the weekend. Way to go, Logan.
Yeah, awesome. That is absolutely awesome. You know, I've been following him in the minors as well, and followed him through his college career, and you know, since going to the Mariners organization and been pitching in the minors, he's a different type of pitcher than what he was in college. And
it's really cool.
He's just gotten better and better in his last couple starts that he made. Was it Tacoma? Is that where AAA?
With the Rainiers.
His last couple of games there, his last couple outings there, he really pitched well. And then, you know, this injury happens to a guy in the rotation. He gets the opportunity to get called up, and great job. I'm proud of him too. Don't even know him, but been following him for years. I think it's awesome.
Yep.
My champ's going to be Javi Baez. Let's give him some love. Seriously. 5 of 7 over the weekend, a couple of doubles, hit 3 RBIs, a walk, a stolen base. He took the extra base as well, going from first to second on a fly ball to right field. He played well in the field. We've seen his numbers go way up over the last over what happened last year in the last couple of years. He's now hitting 301 on the season. All right, and his OPS is now 716. That's nothing to write home about, but at least it's average. Right? He's
yeah.
brought this thing up and up and up and up, and now it's average because he had a couple of doubles yesterday. Maybe that's going to get him in a couple of doubles over the weekend. Maybe that's going to get him in his groove now where he's got his extra base power coming back. He hasn't hit a home run yet, but I feel like that's not too far away. He's just enjoying baseball. He's, A.J. Hinch said, he's just a really good baseball player. He knows what he's doing and put him in positions to succeed, and he's doing it this season. Got to give him some love.
My chump is the NBA officiating crew at yesterday's game. Full stop.
Understand. I'm going to go with Jax Albrook. Who? Well, he's the jackass who pranked Shedeur Sanders into thinking that he was drafted earlier. He's also the son of the Falcons defensive coordinator, Jeff Albrook, who will likely be punished for leaving his iPad open so his son could see the private number attached there to Shedeur Sanders.
Is he with the Falcons? Or is he? He's with the Falcons, right?
Yes.
That's who it was. So he, this kid is apparently one of many. Did you hear who else who got prank called?
I know there were other players. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Mason Graham, Tyler Warren, Isaiah Bond, Kyle McCord, and some anonymous player. Got called after he got drafted and told he's just been traded. Prank call. This is so stupid and ridiculous. And really, it's mean-spirited. It's really mean-spirited. And I know that young people with a chance to go viral want to do something that goes viral. Well, this kid's going to pay a price. And it's probably not anything legal, although some people are saying he should face legal consequences. I don't think that should be the case. I just think... Now you got to overcome this because you did it, and it's really mean.
Well, and now everybody knows who you are too, and really the one who's going to pay the price is going to be his dad, because if his dad left the iPad open for people to see, that's not ideal to do that. And obviously his son took the number, wrote it down with the purpose of prank calling him. And look, I love a good prank call as much as the next person, but you're right. There's a difference between being trying to be funny and trying to be mean-spirited about it.
248-539-9797. Let's get to your phone calls. Brian, you're on 97. Want a ticket. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon. Or morning, I guess, still.
What's up?
Champ, like you said, Javi Baez, he played a great game. Champ will be the referees. And, I think they should, they fine the players for doing everything wrong. They should fine the referees for not making that call. If they start fining these referees for the obvious no calls, the referees will stick to their guns and actually call a fair game. Like, I know you guys are sometimes like conspiracy theories. I read one, it was on Facebook, though, that one of the referees had bet on the next game, and that's why they didn't make the call.
Yeah, first you got us wrong if you think we.
On Facebook,
yeah, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy at all, to be honest with you. But if that's true, he's fired, and that will end up in court. I'm
not worried about that.
And I'm not either. I suspect that that's not the case. However, I mean, and when a call's that blatantly missed, it brings out everything. It brings out everything.
Yeah, it's a missed call, and you had asked earlier why was it missed, and gave a bunch of reasons. I think the obvious reason to me of why it was missed is because they were letting things go throughout the game, and they just continued to let it go right to the end. And that's unfortunate.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, I got some great news. I think we've officially moved on from winter, and we've got more great news. The red, white, and blue trucks are everywhere, so you can call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and they're going to make sure that your HVAC and your plumbing are ready to go and ready to take on the heat that's just around the corner. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating they have from the Better Business Bureau or some of the 5-star reviews on Google. So whether it's your furnace, your water heater, boiler, water filtration, air conditioning unit, schedule an appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
All right. So, look, outside of the call, there are other topics. And I have no problem compartmentalizing these two separate topics. Should they have been there in the first place? So I always get back to, all right, was this game expected to be close? Was this series expected to be close? Are the Pistons so far and away better than the Knicks that they should win in a rout? And the answer is no, it's not. But when you build a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, it's a lot easier to close that game out than when you have a double-digit lead in the first quarter. Yeah. And they had built the double-digit fourth-quarter lead.
Because they had a double-digit deficit.
Yes, earlier they did. They did. It's important to keep in mind that what helped them build the double-digit lead was Brunson was out of the game. And when he came back in the game, the Pistons were up 10. And as much as it just is, it's a bitter thing to talk about because we can't stand the guy, but Jalen Brunson is so freaking good that when he came back in the game started to tilt back in New York's favor. And I hate giving him credit because I find him to be one of the most annoying players in the league. And I hate that he has stopped with the histrionics and the foul baiting because when he was doing that, he wasn't as effective and his team wasn't as effective. Down the stretch, because Brunson wasn't being overly ball dominant, Karl Anthony Towns was allowed to make, he made two threes, one of them from 30 feet, another, and then he made a miracle fadeaway shot that was an incredible shot. And as much as you hate to see it, the degree of difficulty on Karl Anthony Towns' shots was way higher than the degree of difficulty that on Cade's shots. And Karl Anthony Towns made them and Cade didn't. And this is the kind of shot that, while we all acknowledge that Cade is a young star, you know, I feel like I see a future version of Cade talking about learning from this series, learning from the Knicks series the first time they made the playoffs and what it takes and all that. Because Cade just, I mean, he didn't make the, in the last minute and 10, he missed two shots and turned it over. Karl Anthony Towns came through in a big way.
Well, Karl Anthony Towns is one of the better shooting big men in the league. And if you give him space to knock down shots, he's going to knock down shots. But that, yeah, that turnaround fadeaway jumper from, you know, 15 feet was ridiculous that that went in. Where I started getting nauseated and was when Brunson came back into the game and showed zero ill effects of being tragically murdered on the court earlier in the game when he got his feet tangled up and immediately grabs his knee. And then you see replay after replay and you're like, what? Anything wrong there? I don't guess. Oh, he can't put his weight on his leg. Oh, and then miraculously he comes back like Willis Reed leading his team to victory. Dude, okay, I get that you may have been scared when you went to the court, or maybe you're trying to draw a foul and grab your leg. Oh, I mean, he was trampled. It has to be a call. I mean, he wasn't out of the game that long.
No.
Comes back, and the announcers were treating it like, oh, my God, I can't believe what I'm watching here. this is truly, we mark this day down. We will remember where we were when Jalen Brunson came back.
Yeah.
He came back. I texted you guys. It's like I didn't realize he had the flu and he was wearing a bloody sock at the same time. But I just it was a bit much. And then they start calling, oh, it's an ankle injury. I'm like, why the hell was he grabbing his right knee? Stop with this. Stop building it up bigger than what it was. What it is a great player in this league that took over in the fourth quarter again for the Knicks. He had 15 points in the fourth quarter. He's been great for this team in the fourth quarter. Nothing different. The player is still the same, although to your point, he's not hunting the fouls like he was.
No.
But perhaps he was hunting the foul when he went and grabbed his knee. He's fine, and you don't have to build it up any more than that. Great performance by Jalen Brunson, but I was getting nauseated by a guy who spent time in this town, Dave Pasch. Come on. You know better. Stop playing up to that crap.
Yeah, that was that was a little bit eye-rolly.
Can I get a witness?
Where were you?
Oh.
I hear you.
I remember April 27th.
I hear you.
2025.
I mean, there wasn't so much as even a mere limp moments later when he was going to the basket.
There's nothing to stop him. Start, stop, start, stop. I mean, he's dead sprint, stop, come back. He's fine. Oh, they retaped the ankle. Oh, okay.
I think he's gone to the locker room every fourth quarter of every game this series. No, seriously.
I think you're right. Yeah. Got to keep him together.
Change his shoe or retape or whatever.
Pop drugs, whatever it is.
You're talking about pain killing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't think he's doing meth in the bowels of LCA. No.
Just making sure.
But you know what?
Medication.
It hurts more Gator because he's damn good, man. And he's clutch.
Really good. He's really good.
He gets in the paint. He's almost automatic every time he gets in there. He gets you on his hip or his shoulder. He knows how to shoot his shot, get to his spot. The frustrating part for me was the first half, obviously, before they went on that run to end the half, was the turnovers. Like, I can't believe I went at the end of the game and looked out how many more shots the Knicks had than the Pistons, and it wasn't much. It was like 7-9 because the second half the Pistons came back. But that first half, they must have had 30 more shots than the Pistons.
And they felt like they were careless. I mean, they've done this all season long.
It was some of the worst basketball you've seen the Pistons play.
They treat the basketball like they don't care what happens to it. Honestly, they're not. I've been saying all year long, they're not strong with the ball. They're lackadaisical with their passes. They don't feel any pressure, it seems like, with double teams coming. When they do, they don't really try. There's no urgency.
They need to treat it more like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, and it's my precious. Like, do not just toss it away like they did willy-nilly. Sorry, Doug, I didn't mean to call Lord of the Rings on you.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd apologize to me. It's just another movie reference that I don't get.
But it was some of the worst basketball we've seen them play in the first half. And you're right, King. It was turnover after turnover, and everybody was doing it. It was Duren or Asar Thompson or Cade Cunningham. Everyone was throwing a ball away, and I'm like, what is going on here?
And then to add to the empty possessions, when the Knicks would miss in the first half, they would get all the offensive rebounds. And I'm like, no one was boxing out. I know during one of the timeouts, Bickerstaff was getting on everyone to, hey, we got all crash.
And then they end up, the rebounding margin was 54-38 in favor of the Pistons. And yet it felt like...
Well, at least the first half, right?
Well, in the game, this was...
felt terrible.
The game, the first half was terrible. But it felt like the Knicks got every big rebound they had to. And the offensive rebounding battle was won by the Pistons 14-12, but it was only two.
Let's start knocking down phone calls. Rick is next on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Rick.
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Good, sir.
Hey, can I preface my comment to Kang? Kangster, how much gel do those NBA guys wear reffing the NBA games? To say that they're better than NHL officials, taking pucks in the teeth, skates in the face. I mean, so I just want to get that out. But this is
What are you talking about?
When Kang made the comment that NBA, he thinks NBA officials are the best in the world.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Kang, did you mean that the guys who are officiating in the NBA are the best officials available for basketball?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. I mean, do you know any other better refs out there?
No, Kangster. I thought you meant that the NBA officials are like, it takes a better skill set to do that than to officiate hockey or football or whatever.
No.
Okay. My bad. But the comment, guys, is that this is what makes basketball, it's unbearable, honestly. I mean, if you're getting touched, you guys are spending the show talking about a guy getting touched. I mean, go up for the jumper with a tissue. These guys are so soft. I mean, did we not let a guy travel for 20 years, take steps? That was okay. Nobody bitched about the reffing that much. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think people have bitched about reffing forever.
Yeah, it's so soft. The bad boys. Everybody loved the bad boys, fellas, because they were tough, man. If I can't shake you to get open and hit my jumper, and somebody gives me a little, fingernail on my wrist, and I miss the shot, that's on me for not being open to hit my shot.
All right, Rick, thanks for the phone call. Dave's in Berkeley and next. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Real quick, I'd say champ Detroit Tigers, while first place. Chump. I'm going to go with everybody who's got a conspiracy about Shadur. But what I really wanted to talk about was the Pistons. I am not blaming it on a scramble for a loose ball, miracle fadeaway three from the corner. We had no business there. The problem is that we stopped running our offense. You don't want Cade for a back down, dribble down, brick, five possessions in a row. Pass the ball around and get a good shot to win the game.
Well, I mean, I didn't have a problem with an open
open three,
elbow, and it was an open elbow jumper. Shot, like, I think that's a good shot. Their offense, though, at times in the series, Dave, is in a general rule, I would agree, has looked terrible. And I credit the Knicks for what they've done defensively, but they've struggled on the offense. They were stuck in the 20s in the second quarter until late in the first half. I couldn't believe they did. Their offense bogged down. It was really bad.
Agreed. Just move the ball. That's all I'm saying. Great show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for the phone call.
Ton of empty possessions in the fourth quarter for the Pistons.
Dale is next. Hi, Dale.
Hello.
Hey, Dale.
My champ and chumps are the Lions 57 pick Friday when the fans, they brought that family out and they explained what happened to their 18-year-old son in 2007. Yep. And the fans start chanting USA, chanting USA.
Yeah, for people who missed it, they announced the
fan that heckled Durant yesterday. That was uncalled for. He explained to everybody earlier in the year about his depression, that he almost committed suicide.
Yeah, that was brutal.
He did that to help other people and tell them to get help. And this fan did that to him, where it raised even the players of the dugout for the Red
Sox. Yeah, that fan's not going to be welcome. He's not going to be welcome to come.
Defend him.
Okay.
Yep.
He's not going to be welcome back.
No, and it, for people who don't know what his champ was, a Detroit family who lost a son in combat got to announce the Lions pick, and it was a touching moment. For sure. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1.